Good morning, Hanok. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach, Mike. How are you?
I'm up and running this morning, trying to catch up on my week since it's been, kind of doing that Passover in, or I guess we would call that Pesachin.
Well, when it comes out during the week, it's really, and more often than not, it does. It's very disorienting.
Oh yeah.
Is the day before Sunday? Was it Sunday? What day is it now? I mean, the fact that I reminded myself that it was Wednesday today.
Yeah, I know.
It's a little unusual.
It is. So, what's happening over there? Okay. It looks like you guys have had a busy time.
Yeah. Well, first things first, I think let's talk about Israel's retaliatory strike on Iran and what it means and what it doesn't. So, the whole world seemed to be trembling and getting nervous, and airlines were getting nervous.
Yeah.
But again, those of us who know who our prime minister is and what he's about didn't expect a heck of a lot. So what Israel pulled off is something that Israel, America, and Iran can all pat themselves on the back and walk away.
Oh, wow.
It is really bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from the Israeli perspective, now let's start with the Americans. The Americans were really intent on avoiding what they call a regional war at all costs.
Yeah.
So they put an enormous amount of pressure on us that whatever response that we were going to give would be very measured,
mm-hmm.
and somehow the Iranians could ignore. So we could tell ourselves we did something, and they could tell themselves the Israelis did nothing.
Yeah.
And the Americans could be happy with both. And that's exactly what happened. Israel was able, from outside of Iranian airspace, to fire what appears to be three missiles, which destroyed, the missiles could not be detected.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Okay, and they destroyed the radar connected to a nearby nuclear site. In other words, showing we were able to penetrate, y'all didn't know we were coming, thumbs up, you've got the cooties. Iran was able to ignore it, at least publicly,
mm-hmm.
and say, nothing going on here, keep moving. And it did not create the level of deterrence that we in Israel needed to happen. So the Americans are thrilled. And in Israel, it appears that in order to do such a pathetic response to the Iranian attack on our soil, on our homeland, got the Joe Biden go ahead to Rafiah, to Rafah.
Yeah.
So everyone's walking around patting themselves on the back. And those of us here in Israel that know that Iran was not deterred are left shaking our heads. We have no deterrence. This is the kind of tie-in with what you mentioned right before Pesach started.
Oh, yeah.
We're hammered in the north, and rockets as far as Tzfat and Akko,
mm-hmm.
people call Acre in English. The question is, who's running the store? It's really, I'm wondering who's in charge. Now, part of the problem, of course, is Israel is beholden to America.
Yeah.
We've spoken about this a number of times, and it's a real problem. And whoever is making the decisions that come out of Biden's mouth are kind of playing both ends against the middle. Never before in the history of warfare has a country been commanded to provide food and aid for the terrorists and the civilians. Never before. I mean, a number of weeks ago, all these countries pulled their funding from UNRWA, the bogus United Nations refugee organization, and now they're all, paying in again.
Yeah.
The whole world has gone topsy-turvy.
Well, you mentioned Biden, just to, I don't know if you saw this, but you probably did. A few weeks ago, he was walking to the airplane holding the hand of Nancy Pelosi. Yesterday, he was holding AOC's hand. So the guy doesn't have really good taste in women, is all I'm saying.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, I know. Who is pulling these strings, and who's pulling the strings of what's happening on college campuses here? They showed a list last night of 50 college campuses that are having these demonstrations. These mental midgets probably could not find Israel on a map. Most of them probably would not know what a map is. But, I don't blame them as much as I do the idiots that allowed the teachers into those colleges. One of those colleges is actually in North Carolina.
It is shocking. And a buddy of mine wrote a blog piece that was picked up by the Times of Israel. And in it, at the very end, he spoke about the genie is out of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
The vehement and virulent Jew hatred. I mean, gas the Jews, Jews, that we're subhuman, burn Tel Aviv. These are not, and it's the classic thing where they go around and they ask people, the sign you're holding says, what does that mean? And some who try to be clever say, well, it's self-evident. Well, explain it to me. And they can't.
No.
I saw a meme today on Facebook that said the keffiyeh is just an updated hipster swastika. When you've got major college campuses blocking Jews from going to either classes or the library or leaving their dorms, this is reminiscent of 1938. Nazi stormtroopers.
Absolutely.
This is it's beyond shocking. Now, of course, it was just the Seder the other night, and it just didn't feel the same here.
No.
We in Israel were asked to leave a place setting at the table, a chair for the hostages. And as we started the Haggadah, the traditional text where it starts with Halach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction. All who are hungry coming, okay. But it says, this year we are slaves. And I couldn't get it out of my mind that we still have hostages.
Yeah.
And I took off my dog tags. I hung it on the chair next to me. And I could not stop the tears from coming down. It was a miserable Pesach Seder. Heck, all I had to eat was some matzah and soup. I had spent the whole day cooking. I just had no appetite, no wine. I had Kedem grape juice, which is a fortune here in Israel because it's imported from New York State. This is a time when people need to rally. Pesach leads all who are associated with Israel leads us out of slavery into the desert, where we're whining and complaining, and we're just absolutely awful, even though we'd seen all the miracles of Hashem right in our eyes. And we're brought to Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. And it's there we coalesce, we pull together, we united as a nation. All of those who feel that they too are part of Israel, this is what we need to be doing. And it has to happen now. Not in a couple of weeks, not in a couple of months, not in a couple of years. We need to make it happen now.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Totally with you. Yeah, we did something different on our Passover with the Afikoman, as we broke the bread, the matzah, and I put part of that into the Afikoman bag, and I actually asked the people to remember those that are locked away.
Yeah.
During this time. So, you know, whatever symbolism that we need to have to remind us that 201 days ago, our land, our mutual land was attacked. Our brothers and sisters are still in, being kept hostage. Our land is being desecrated by rockets coming in, and by those that are chanting in the streets of America, "We are Hamas." You know, yeah. Why are, you know, Hamas is a terrorist organization, I guess, now the same as the IDF.
It's you see these demonstrations, and they're waving the yellow flag of Hezbollah. They've got the green headbands of Hamas, and they're promising that October 7th was only the first of many to come. And Columbia University, New York University, all of these schools cannot have their campuses cleared. They're taken over by these anarchists. And it's astounding.
What these people don't have a clue of is if they were given a plane ride, all expense paid trip to a Muslim country right now, they would be brought off the plane and shot on sight.
It's unbelievable. And you know, someone brought up the other day, wasn't this like the college campus rallies against the war in Vietnam?
Mm.
And no, because no one was being assaulted and taunted and, you know, denigrated as Jewish students are on campuses throughout the United States.
Yeah,
I mean, and again, as I tell every American that I meet, in 20 to 25 years, these are the people that will be in your Congress.
Yeah, or less, or less. Some of them probably within 5 years. Hanok, I mentioned the IDF. You know, I just kind of ran over that. There was one statement that said, "Well, no, Israel and the IDF are not held to a different standard." But another government official here said, "Yes, we do." And it's obvious that America is and the world holds the IDF to a different standard. What is it with this? You know, there's one unit there that's being brought up for charges. Could you give us some insight on that?
Sure. Now, as of just about an hour ago, it said America has backed off, but there's a unit called it's the Nahal Haredi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, people are used to Haredi, ultra-Orthodox,
yeah,
black coats, whatever. These are more ultra-Orthodox, but these are the people that live, for example, the quote-unquote hilltop youth. These are the ones throughout Judea and Samaria, not exclusively, but these are very religious young men who are very committed nationally to Israel. We have an expression called Dati Lumi, national religious, and we have an expression which is not as popular called Charedi Lumi. In other words, ultra-Orthodox, national ultra-Orthodox. So this unit, which had been stationed in Judea and Samaria, a number of instances where they were thought to be rough on the local Arab populace. They're primarily now up in the Golan Heights. Some of them have been down in Gaza, but the American government, in their effort to bend over backwards, is constantly looking to sanction groups here in Israel, either individuals throughout Judea and Samaria or this unit of religious soldiers. And it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. That's why Biden, in talking about anti-Semitism on college campuses, at the end threw, yeah, people don't care about that and they don't care about the Palestinians. Like, what does that even mean? And he wouldn't even know.
Yeah, I mean, about the only thing he knows is he wants more ice cream. So, you know, it just, that's where everything is. I see that the IDF is preparing to go into Rafah.
Yeah, and it appears, you know, when all of a sudden we started pulling units out, that was to give them special training.
Yeah.
So what's going to go on there? Hamas has been entrenched. First of all, they've been entrenched there since before October 7th. And they've had all this time, you know, we're in the seventh month, they've all this time to dig in and prepare more. It's going to be ugly and it's going to be brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the feeling I get is that the possibility that the war that is about to be is going to be the worst part that we have seen up until this point.
So, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Hezbollah in Lebanon. Meanwhile, airlines that were beginning to panic in the last 2 weeks have now announced that they've begun to come back. So, you know, it's a rapidly evolving situation.
Oh, yeah.
Now, for those out there, our listeners who had wanted to come to Israel in the last number of months or are hoping to come in the next number of months, I urge you, please keep saving.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to be able to come back to Israel. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. For those of that have already signed up for the Connect Israel tour, as I've said, we're still looking at September. I've got the dates reserved. I've got all of that. You know, people that have sent their deposits in, people have sent their full payments in, that's in a separate account. That's held separate by us. And we don't touch anything that's there. So, you know, we're just waiting for the day, but as everybody can see, things can change. Within the time of the broadcast that we're making right here, things can totally change in Israel.
Yeah. I mean, you know, projections that I've read indicate that the operation of Rafiach is supposed to be about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
The first 3 weeks are resettling all these people that had moved down to that area. In the meantime, of course, we still have terrorists in the northern part of Gaza. You know, I mean, this is, you know, they're embedded in the civilian population. It does appear that Hamas, not that anyone cares, that Hamas said that the numbers that they've been quoting are not correct. And the total casualties from their side appear to be about 22,000, of which about 13,000 are Hamas terrorist fighters. So that leaves 9,000 individuals who, in American terminology, would be called collateral damage. But People still say 33,000. The president of Brazil still said 12.3 million. I mean, kids. I mean, this is just, people just make stuff up. It's unbelievable.
Well, even the nine, maybe, let's go with 9,000 collateral damage. Okay. The collateral damage is somebody that was aiding, abetting. You know,
that's right.
I mean, that's the problem there, is that you don't have, you know, in, you talk about in World War II with Nazi Germany, and that people had uniforms on. You knew who you were fighting. In every war, you know who you're fighting because they have a uniform.
Yep.
In this one, you have no idea, because the 14-year-old that's coming toward you could have explosives strapped on his body. The 18-year-old girl could be carrying an AK-47. You never know there. It's like during the Oslo Wars, the Intifada, and you know, it was so much easier then. I was leading tours then, back, you know, before I knew you. Wow, there was such a day. It was easy to lead a tour there, because we just, you know, we kind of had a feel of everything. Okay. We weren't on city buses. We weren't going into the most of the cafes. It was a lot easier. This is not the same, but you know, we look at this.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, who has explosives strapped to their body? Which building has that you see children's toys in front of has been booby trapped with grenades and explosives? It's crazy.
There was an attempted stabbing in Hebron. Yeah. The woman was a nursing student. Okay, so this whole idea that, like, well, they don't have a state of their own, so they're poor. It's all a lie.
Wait a minute. The one that was holding the knife? So a nursing student is trying to stab people.
IDF soldiers, yeah.
I've been so busy with stuff, I didn't even see that one. And then you have the forgotten story of last week, is the 14-year-old Jewish shepherd that was murdered.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and the IDF avenges blood. No,
yeah, things are happening so fast like that you know, you can't keep up with the stories hardly.
But what gets me is, with all of this going on, it's knowing and seeing people doing things, from prayers to notes to people in Israel, myself included, raising money for Israel. I mean, there's so many things. Again, your Congress people, you know, the House of Representatives, the senators, President Biden, you know, don't just say, well, in November, when things change, you know what? I hate to tell you, things may not change in November.
Well,
November's a long way off.
Yeah, I didn't say this on my living tour program I just recorded this morning, I think this is a better venue for it, that Melania Trump went and spoke at a LGBT something, you know. Okay, come on, guys. What?
The entire world has turned upside down.
Yeah.
So my wardrobe is now featuring a lot of these kind of things. The facade of the temple, Bimhei Ravi Amino, speedily in our days. And again, I caution people, Speedily in our days is not a phrase calling upon Hashem to do something. Hashem, build this. No. It's human hands time, guys. Yeah. And this is incremental stuff. There's so much we could all be doing. And many people are. And it's incredibly gratifying. And that's what we Israelis, what we find encouraging. Because we look on Instagram and we see these riots throughout America. And I mean, I not only never had the grades to get into a Yale or a Columbia or a Harvard, but certainly my parents of blessed memory, you know, could never have afforded. They couldn't have even filled out all the loan applications. I mean,
they had a hard time sending you to preschool, didn't they?
I'll tell you, I went to the School of Hard Knocks. That's what I did. It was, you know, my mother, Alea Shalom, used to say, you know, go out and play in traffic. I mean, this is, you know, you learn survival skills. You do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so but you know, we will get through this. We will get through this. You know, it's when the war first happened, all of a sudden water disappeared from the shelves and the supermarkets. They were saying, you know, everyone's been called up. Well, everyone hasn't been called up. And some people have come back and there is water. It did disappear with the Iranian thing again. And it's, you know what? Stockpile your water. It's like 2 liters per day per person or something, whatever it is. You know, and just do it.
Yeah.
You know, Nike, just do it. So Pesach is the time when we think about freedom, we think about slavery, we think about the meaning of life. Self-hating Jews on college campuses throughout America were having these non-Zionist seders. Hashem is a Zionist. The land of Israel belongs to the people of Israel. That's what Zionism means, kids.
Yeah.
You can't, how do you read the Haggadah and not see the connection to Israel? I mean, it's really, I've been holding down my kippah. I've been tying a bungee cord sometimes in the morning just to make sure that my head doesn't explode.
Well, you know, you can read a lot of things that doesn't mean anything. They have not read the scripture that says, I am zealous for Zion. Of course, that's, you know, they've, many people highlight their scripture with a black magic marker. So, yeah, it's just the way it is. And, you know,
that's a great line. I love that.
I know. And, you know, just like it is for most, there are a lot of Jews all over the world that need to be repenting during these days of these 7 days, because on the evening of Pesach, they lied. They broke one of the big commandments of lying, because they said at the end, next year in Jerusalem, having no thought about that.
You know, one of the columns that both you and I read, Rav Nachman Kahana.
Oh, that was incredible.
Writes the same column. He reprints it, changes it occasionally, usually not. Showing religiously observant Jews in America who are not thinking of that. Now, in the next couple of months, an interesting thing is going to play out. Applications for Aliyah through Nefesh B'Nefesh, the organization that handles that for the government of Israel from North America, they've been off the charts.
Mm.
The trips, the actual flights to Israel are supposed to be in July and August. Now, it's interesting because there's a requirement now that didn't exist when I came in 2009, where you've got to contact the FBI in America to prove that you have no criminal record and there's no outstanding warrants. So, you know, but again, we go back historically, We go back historically and we wonder why the Jews of Europe did not leave. Now, of course, in Poland, 3 million Jews, they were poor, they were terribly discriminated against by the Polish government. And at a certain point, there was no place for them to go.
Yeah.
America closed its doors to Jewish immigrants. Canada did. Australia did. I mean, it was a mess.
Yeah.
For as thrilled as I am that Hashem gave me the opportunity to live my life here in Israel, I'm from the blessed generation where all I had to do is get on a plane. I didn't have to sneak across a border. I didn't have to, get on a steamship that was sinking from Cyprus and, the British and everyone. But the bottom line, I learned this in management at Johnson & Johnson. You can't lead someone where they don't want to go.
That is a true statement. That is so, so true. All right. Well, we will see what the week transpires. I will, God willing, be next Wednesday. I'll be able to record just prior to going and performing a wedding for some mutual friends.
And, oh, lovely!
From what I've been told, they have this hugging contest there with some of the children. So that should be a lot of fun.
No, that's great.
I'm
that's
looking
great
forward
Enjoy
to it.
It.
There's,
that's a
there's
wonderful
some of those
thing.
Kids I haven't met yet, so I'm looking forward to it.
That's great. That's wonderful. Mazal tov. Congratulations to all.
Yeah. All right.
Super. Mike, be strong. Hang in there. Enjoy the rest of Pesach. Catch you next Wednesday.
You got it, man.
Bye-bye.